Welcome to the Estate Planning Project. My name is Mary Bart, Chair of Caregiving Matters. Our purpose with this project is public education on a wide range of estate planning topics. With a growing aging population, unprecedented wealth transfer from one generation to the next, and the dramatic rise in estate litigation, the need for estate public planning has never been greater. This is a technology-based project that is producing podcasts, articles, and blog posts. As a social collaborative initiative, experts such as lawyers, estate planners, and financial planners are all sharing their thoughts and ideas on a bottomless list of estate planning topics. This project offers general information only and is not a substitute for seeking personalized professional advice. And our podcast title for today is called Family Conversations. With the amount of money that is being bequeathed to the next generations, planning has never been more imperative for everyone. But planning has missed one large item as it has developed as an estate planning necessity, and that is intergenerational communication. Too often, a parent leaves a child something that the child really did not want, while another child, unbeknownst to the parent, really wanted that exact same thing. So, to help us better understand this issue, our guest expert today is Brian Schumach, BSc, CLU, CFP, CHS, CFDS, TEP, and EPC. A little bit of background for you on Brian. For the last 8 years, Brian has been facilitating family meetings to help all generations get through the transference of assets from one generation to the next. Although only working as a facilitator for the last 8 years, Brian has been doing this informally since he started in the financial world in 1990, following a long history, his family in the financial world, dating back to the 1950s. After hearing renowned speaker Tom Deans, who is author of Every Family's Business and other planning books, Brian realized that there was a void between generations that was not being addressed in his working with retirees of all ages, helping them plan their legacies. So Brian, welcome to our project.
Thank you very much for having me, Mary. It's an absolute pleasure to be here.
Well, that's great. I do have a series of questions for you, so let's get started with the first one. That being, who needs a family conversation facilitator?
That's a great question. In the number of years that I've been advising people, I haven't met many families where they're able to talk about anything, especially that which is sensitive, and move on in a healthy manner. So with that being understood, one of the greatest misconceptions that parents have is that the kids are going to figure things out because they like each other. And yet on a number of occasions, I've heard parents utter those exact words. And when they pass away, I've seen their kids fight like cats and dogs. So it's really very simple. Pretty much everyone needs a family conversation. And often it's much easier when someone facilitates it. I'll give you an example. When my father passed away, my mother, my brother, my sister, and I, we're sitting in the house going through and dividing things up between us and the garbage as my mother was going to be downsizing. And I remember my brother and I having a really heated discussion over who was going to get an ashtray of all things. I mean, many people will recall those god-awful orange glass ashtrays that all the restaurants had. Well, we had a really beautiful one and it had adorned many of our coffee tables in the house over the years. And all of a sudden, my brother and I both wanted that ashtray. And we both said, I want that because, and gave our reason. And then we both thought for a second and said, okay, no. How about you have it? No, you have it. And we then argued about who should now have it. And to be quite honest, I don't recall who actually took the ashtray, but it does illustrate one very key thing, and that's emotions dictate how we respond. And they're not necessarily emotions that allow us to think clearly at times when things are up in the air. And my brother and I tend to see eye to eye despite various issues over the years, but that ASHRAE was certainly one that we didn't initially or subsequently see eye to eye on. And like I said, it's completely meaningless now in the sense that I have no idea where that ASHRAE is, so I can only presume that he ended up taking it. Pretty much anyone who has not sat down as a family and discussed what needs to happen with all of the ifs that parents face and their children will benefit from, then they need to work with a facilitator. Whether it's a child who wants to open the discussion up, children, brothers, sisters, together or individually, or whether it's the parents, and the parents want to be assured that they're, you know, cared for later in life. These are all the different topics that we end up often seeing when we do these discussions. And last but not least, who gets the ASHRAE?
Well, that's a very valid point. And indeed, emotions do play a huge part of how families either get along or don't get along. My next question for you is, what topics are discussed in a family conversation?
Again, phenomenal question. And I think it's really, really important that people understand that it's not generally a single conversation that's required. It's not like, hey, Brian, like to get together and have you tell my kids what I want to do. No, it really is a very intricate series of conversations. And it's usually dictated by who's asking for the family meeting in the first place. If a parent or parents are the sort of the major facilitator or desiring of this goal, their primary desire is often to treat their children equally. I mean, anyone who has kids, one of the first things that they say is they want to treat their kids equally. Very few families have things that are easily divided into equal parts per child. I mean, how do you take a house and divide it into three equal parts for children? You can't take a big, you know, saw and cut a third away. So that's an example of how we look at things, and instead of leaving it necessarily in equal parts, we leave it in an equitable format so that the legacy is given to each child in an equitable fashion. That doesn't necessarily mean that it's equal, and that's why family conversations are so incredibly important when it comes to bequeathing to your kids an equitable way, not necessarily an equal way, because often with equality comes problems that most people are unaware of. Second thing that parents unilaterally tend to agree on is that they do not wish to be a burden on their children. I mean, I've never, ever come across a parent who is looking forward to incapacitation so that their children can change them. And most, in fact, most parents, that being said, are too proud to ask for help if they need it. I mean, discussing things before they happen alleviates all of the angst that the parents have. And you know what? They will know what's going to happen next, and so will their kids. And that is amazing how all of a sudden the fear that they would otherwise have dictating their life is gone, and they're able to enjoy themselves knowing that when push comes to shove, they've already talked about it and everyone knows what's going on. When kids are bringing up the need for a conversation, it is usually surrounding money and allowing their parents to age with dignity. The number of times I hear, I wonder what they would want, or they would have wanted this, that is such a common phrase. And it's one that, you know, when a parent can't speak for themselves, knowing what their parents would have wanted factually is such a breath of fresh air for families who are otherwise going through a potentially very emotional time.
And you know, that really does speak to a wonderful phrase about respecting wishes, values, and beliefs. And your idea of facilitating these conversations, I believe, will help people really understand and know how to respect wishes, values, and beliefs. My next question for you, what is the process involved in a family conversation?
That's usually the first question I get from people. It's like, okay, so we want to have this. What does that mean? Well, it really, again, depends on who's initiating the desire to have that conversation. And that is often actually the starting point. I mean, if it's a parent, it usually revolves around leaving the right legacy. And if it's a child, it usually revolves around getting their parents to talk about what they want to happen. Because guess what? Parents don't generally, at a Friday night dinner or a Sunday brunch, say, hey, guess what I want to talk about? And most kids are petrified to actually ask their parents. So the family conversation really involves a series of meetings. And with each of the parties involved individually and then as a collective family. When the parents want the meeting, I typically will meet with each of the parents individually, as well as a couple, to determine what their primary concern or concerns are. And with the experience that I have, all of the underlying unspoken things that often are lurking just below the surface, through a series of questions, I'm able to discover what they are and bring them out in the open. It's so important to listen to what's being said, because when I go and I meet with the other members of the family, I'm now in a position of strength because I know what's going on. And being better positioned to know if there really is an issue, other than simply letting each of the parties know what the other is thinking, that's important. If there is an issue, then I obviously assist with those who are involved to put it out in the open in a safe environment. I establish rules of the meeting in advance so there's no surprises. And to date, I've not had any fists come out, which is wonderful. Certainly, voices have been raised, but one of the rules that I set down with all parties before we start is that it's okay that if you need to take a break because it's getting a little emotional, you have a saying, and I say, hold that thought. I need a timeout. Not that you're going to go and sit on the steps and because you're misbehaving, which is what we did, you know, might have done with our kids at some point in time. It's I need to be able to calm down so that I can listen to what's being said. But not only can I listen to it, I can hear it, absorb it, and process it. And when emotions run high, and they sometimes do in these meetings, that breath can be taken at the speed of the people or person involved. And that really, really helps get us to the end. And it allows for that continuation of whatever the topic was. Now, trust me, it is not always easy for the party who didn't say, hey, I need a timeout, to bite their tongue and wait. And usually what happens is the person that needs a timeout, they go steam outside. If they're still smoking, they have their cigarette. And inside where we're meeting, the person who is having trouble holding their tongue starts trying to convince everyone else of their position. And immediately I say, hang on, we need to hold the thought. Because one of the other things that is so incredibly important in a family conversation is that it's not trying to convince everyone of your opinion or your feelings. It's letting everyone know what they are. And then the other people are free to make their decision. So there's no selling of your position in my meetings. And I think that at the end of the day, people leave after having gone through a box of Kleenex because they've had all of these emotions and fears of the unknown pent up in some instances for decades. And now they're finally able to get it out. And it's amazing, even if it's something that is out and they don't like it, they still have some degree of catharsism. Why? Because it's out. And the known enemy is a lot less frightening than the unknown one. That's typically the basis for a family conversation.
Brian, could you share with our audience, please, an example of a family problem that you have seen and were able to resolve?
You know, it's interesting. Every time someone asks me to give me an example, having been around for a while and long in the tooth, I have tons of examples. But you know what? There are probably two that I think will help people start to think about their own situation and the benefits of a formal family conversation. First one occurred a number of years ago. In fact, long before I was formally helping family conversations to occur. I had a client who was incredibly wealthy, whose wife had predeceased him, and who had one middle-aged son. The father was reticent to leave the estate to his son. Why? Because His child was simply living off the old man, quote unquote, from our initial discussion. And he didn't work outside the house. He was basically someone that I call a waiter. That's W-A-I-T-E-R. And that is not someone who brings you your food, but rather someone who's passing time until you die. So I explored a bunch of different options that the father could look to use to leave his wealth to his son and not allow the son to continue to be sort of a bum. And we hit upon the idea that a trust could be set up whereby the son would receive money from the trust equal to the amount that the son was able to generate in income each year. We determined that if the son should die before the estate had been depleted, because the father certainly didn't anticipate that that would ever occur, and leaving no children, or leaving children, but if no children, then the money was going to be donated to the father's favorite charity. If there were grandchildren, then rather than the leaving to the charity, it was the methodology that we were using for the son would be applicable to any grandchildren as well. Unfortunately, everyone comes to a point where they pass away. And when this man passed away, his son actually got up off his duff and he proceeded through some very astute business ventures to deplete the estate in a few years. What that really taught me was that sometimes we don't have to formally speak from the grave, but we can put the parameters in place to help those who we leave behind move on with their life. And in this instance, it was getting the son, who was actually brilliant, up off his duff and fending for himself. And the motivation was to clear the father's estate out. And the son is still alive and has cleared the estate out many years ago. So that's the first example. The second example occurred actually with a younger couple of mine who I was working with, and I had no idea whether or not kids had spoken to their parents. I asked, and actually the daughter, so the wife in the couple situation, had never spoken to her parents. She had absolutely no knowledge as to whether or not they had things in place. The daughter was just frantically mortified about approaching her parents. It was a topic that they had never spoken about. From day one, the parents discussed money amongst themselves when she had gone to bed, when she was out. And this is something that had become a concern for her and her husband. Why? Because the husband had recently seen his parents go through a lot of money in their final years due to failing health, and he didn't want to be unprepared should her parents follow a similar path. So with the husband helping his wife, she ended up asking her parents to get involved with have a family conversation facilitated by myself so that everyone would be able to get their concerns out in the open. Well, as is often the case, the daughter was stunned because the parents loved the idea because they were afraid of broaching this topic too. They had never spoken to their daughter about money. How are they going to do that? And it thought their daughter was going to be too anxious to cope with the new reality. And the new reality was, unfortunately, that the mother had recently been diagnosed with Parkinson's. And so the parents were concerned about their future and how to let their daughter know. We're still in the midst of doing the planning and working through things one step at a time. You know, the mother is still quite competent and able to function. But now that we've met the whole family, parents, and kids together, and we've all put it out in the open, all their collective and individual concerns have been spoken about. And with the younger couple, they now know what they need to be concerned about. So everyone is far better off because there's less unknowns, and it's made everyone more relaxed. And actually, they've all said that they are now more comfortable talking about other things that they used to just let fester. Many times you get a family where things are swept under the rug. And this family, that's what they used to do. But now guess what? Not only are they not putting new things under the rug, they're bringing out old things, and they're doing it actually on their own, which I think is superb. And so those are the two examples that, you know, I think will exemplify some of the ways that a family conversation with or without out a facilitator is something that really needs to become part of someone's overall aging planning for both the parents and the kids.
Well, Brian, your two examples there clearly state and show us how important it is for family conversations, and the fact that you're able to facilitate these conversations, especially when you said that there are multiple meetings, is so valuable to people. So thank you for that. And my last question is there anything else that you would like to add?
I don't think we have enough time for me to add everything. Probably the only thing that I'll speak to, though, is the incredible importance for all families to include a conversation with all parties when doing any form of future planning. I mean, as the old cliche goes, knowledge is power. And I'd add one thing to that. I'd say that naivety is actually at the root of all fear, because when you know what's coming, now you know how to address it, attack it, and overcome it. It's amazing to me how few people have done this. And I encourage, be it myself or someone else, I encourage everyone to give me a shout. They can do that in a number of different ways. They can call me. It's 1-855-PLAN-WITH-BRIAN, or in numbers, 1-855-752-6948. Again, that's 1-855-752-6948. And if you can't remember the numbers, all you have to remember is 1-855-PLAN-WITH-BRIAN. You can also email me. It's Brian, spelled B-R-I-A-N, at brianschumack.com. So B-R-I-A-N at B-R-I-A-N-S-H-U-M-A-K.com. Finally, if you can't remember the number, you don't want to use email, but you have internet access, visit my website. In fact, visit my website regardless. There's all kinds of interesting things on it. That's the typical www.brianschumack.com. And I assure you, unless I'm on a holiday, I get back very quickly to people.
Well, thank you, Brian, for that, and thank you for sharing your contact information. I'm sure our audience will listen to this podcast and learn from you and hopefully contact you to help you facilitate their family meetings going forward. You can follow our project at www.caregivingmatters.ca.